Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
It is Pentecost Sunday. How many knew that today is Pentecost Sunday? Pentecost Sunday is the celebration of when the day of Pentecost happened. A few weeks after Jesus, 50 days actually, after Jesus was crucified on the cross, he rose from the dead, and then they were told to wait in the upper room, and so they waited and they prayed and they tarried for the Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit came and filled them with power, and they walked out of that place, and thousands of people got saved because they began proclaiming the good news of who Jesus is. That's what Pentecost is all about. So if you have a preconceived notion from Pentecostal circles, maybe you have no Pentecostal experience, maybe you were raised in Pentecost, whatever your experience, the biblical version of Pentecost is people finding Jesus because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through the body of Christ. And so that's the point. It's not so that we can be weird and scare people. That's not the reason at all. It's so that we can do something through the power of the Spirit that ministers to their spirit, and they know God is real because of it. That's the idea. And so we celebrate Pentecost Sunday today. Obviously, in missions, there's no better way, because the mission of God is to reach the lost. And so we celebrate that as we're in this missions emphasis today. Last week, Pastor Moran did a great job challenging us, pointing us to the harvest last week, and drawing our attention there to what the Scripture said. And Jesus was teaching his disciples. The disciples were listening to what he was saying, but they weren't oftentimes as clear and as astute on picking up what it is he was doing. Sometimes they heard the words he's saying, they're like, what's he talking about? What's he saying? But they weren't paying attention to what he was doing, like in that passage where he's talking about, guys, I don't need food. I've got food that you don't understand. You don't even know about. In fact, he said, look at they were talking about harvest, right? They're talking about that in John chapter 4, I believe it was, and they're talking about harvest, and they're thinking about harvest in their natural human farming terms, and Jesus points to the crowd of Samaritans that were walking towards him and says, the fields are ripe unto harvest. As the crowds were coming, I see this movie slow motion scene where they're just all walking towards him, right? And he's like, look, right? Because that's what he's trying to get them to see. This isn't about farming. This is about people. This is about souls. And he says, the harvest is ready. And so that's what he was doing. And he was trying to get them to understand that and see that the harvest is ready. And it's now. So our theme this year is, let's go. Today I want to unpack that theme just a little bit more before we get focused on our Alaska trip. Because Acts chapter 9 tells us of Saul the Christian killer. You guys ever heard of Saul of Tarsus? He was the guy who was going about oppressing Christians, throwing them in jail, approving of the murder of Stephen because of his ministry. That was weird for my house because my brother's name is Paul and I'm Stephen. So that's a little strange in our house. I always kind of kept an eye on him. He did try to kill me several times. Anyway, no. So Saul got special permission to go to Damascus and toss these believers in prison. On his way, he encounters Jesus. And not just like, oh, I was thinking about Jesus the other day. Someone didn't hand him a track about Jesus. Jesus himself said, time out, Paul, or Saul. Hold up. And he blinded him, a blinding light, and knocked him down. And they heard a voice, and he was saying, who are you? Or Saul says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm the one you're persecuting. I'm Jesus. And Saul has a personal encounter with Jesus, supernaturally. He's blinded by the encounter, and he's helped into the city because he cannot see. Meanwhile, on the other side of the story, Ananias, not the Ananias and Sapphira Ananias, different Ananias. There's more than one. People can have the same name, right? Okay, yeah, don't get confused. So Ananias, this follower of Jesus, this disciple, was praying, and he hears Jesus speak to him as well. So Jesus speaks to Saul of Tarsus, then he comes over to Ananias and speaks to him and says, hey, go is the first word he says. Look at the text in chapter 9, verse 11. The Lord told him, go. Everybody say go. Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Now think about this for a second. Ananias is a believer. Saul is on his way to imprison and persecute and kill believers. And Jesus says, hey, Ananias, go talk to Saul. That's like the mouse running up to the cat's house and saying, hey, you want to come out and play? It doesn't work, right? Ananias is like, but Lord, anybody ever said, but Lord? Right? Jesus is like, you know, you should do this. And you're like, but Lord, I got way better ideas. Or maybe Jesus is just uninformed. He's uninformed. He doesn't know. He left earth and maybe he's forgotten what's going on here. Right? So Ananias decides to inform Jesus of what's going on here, why this is such a bad idea. So Ananias knew who this guy was. And so he begins to inform the Lord of the current events as if Jesus didn't know. Surely you're confused, Lord. This man wants to kill us. Not him, right? Not that guy, Jesus. You surely mean somebody else that you're sending me to witness to. Anybody ever felt that way? Right? Surely, Lord, you mean somebody else. Come on. Pick somebody else. How about, I got somebody in mind. How about, and Jesus is saying, no, I want you to go to this. And what does he say again in verse 15? But the Lord said to Ananias, go. Church, let's get this in our spirits. Let's not inform Jesus of why we should go. Let's just be obedient and go. Amen? Let's not give him facts on what's a better way or a different version of this. Let's just hear the voice of the Lord and let's respond in going. Amen? That's what he's trying to teach us to do. And so, excuse me. So he informs him of all this stuff. And how did Ananias or Jesus reply to him? He says, go. He could have said maybe, I didn't know that was him. I didn't know that was that guy. My bad. Let's talk to somebody else. Really? He's doing all that? I wasn't aware. All the things that Jesus obviously wouldn't say because Jesus knows who he's sending us to. Yeah. Right? And he says, go. Go. He's challenging him to go because he has a plan for him. God had already shown Saul a vision that Ananias would come to heal him. Put that in your personal perspective for a second. God is speaking to us at times, challenging us to step up and do something that may be really uncomfortable, maybe challenging. But what if on the other side of that, God has already spoken to them or shown them something that we would be fulfilling? Over and over again, we learn that our actions are not isolated. Everything I do affects those around me. Right? And that can be good and that can be bad. And what I see here is a wonderful moment where Ananias didn't have an idea of how big this moment was. He saw the danger that it could have had. He saw the red lights going, the red flags. Whoa, 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 time out, hold on. He saw all of that going on. He didn't see what God was seeing. He just saw what he was seeing. Which was legitimate, right? Saul was imprisoning Christians. He was persecuting believers. You don't go and knock on the guy's door and say, hey, here I am. That doesn't make sense. But Jesus sees something that we don't. In fact, he's already spoken to Saul. He's already shown Saul that a man named Ananias would come and pray for him and restore his sight. So Saul's faith is hanging in the balance. The Apostle Paul's faith is hanging in the balance of an obedient believer. Right? Can I say the next Apostle Paul's faith is hanging in the balance of our obedience to the Lord's sending us? We don't know who's on the other end of that. We don't know what they will accomplish. Ananias didn't know that Saul was going to write half the New Testament. He didn't know there was going to be a New Testament. God just said, go. He is going to be my chosen instrument to reach the Gentiles. I'm going to reach the whole world through this guy. And then Ananias started to figure it out. Okay, maybe I should go. maybe I should do this. God set this up long ago, saved and discipled Ananias for this very moment. Imagine the broken chain of salvation and redemption, and if he was too scared to obey. Imagine the difference the world would have if the Apostle Paul wasn't brought into the fold. Imagine the missed moment for Saul to be healed and saved. Consider the majority of the New Testament. Consider all the ramifications that hung on this moment. You're like, wow, Pastor, that's Ananias and Saul. Yeah, but it's the same principle for us. It's the same thing for us. Who's the next guy walking in the door? Right, Jim? Who's the next person we're going to run into? Who's the next person we're going to meet at a restaurant, or the next person who's going to move in next door, or whatever the case might be? The opportunities that God is putting in front of us, he's saying, go. And we shouldn't give him a list of what's wrong with that idea. We should say, yes, Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, when God put this missions theme on my heart, this let's go theme, it had a clear mood attached to it. And this might be different, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. This is just, I'm sharing you what was on my heart. The mood, the feel, the spin of this emphasis is critical. The understanding of how we take this and how we receive this is important. Because many times our response to the call of the Great Commission is heavy. It's weight. It's like, oh. Like we've been shamed into it. Like we've been told to go clean your room or else. Right? We've all had the or else statement from those in authority in our lives, right? It's important that we recognize the opportunity instead of just feeling the obligation. That's what I want us to recognize. The chance to be and to do what God has created us for instead of just trying to do what we've been told is required of us. All kinds of things are flowing in my head, illustrations and whatever. Did you ever have something in school that you just actually enjoyed? Anybody? Maybe a certain subject? Maybe you're a writer and writing was like, yeah! Maybe you're Sportacus and you just couldn't wait for P.E., because you just wanted to run like a gazelle because that's how God made you. Maybe a certain subject came easy for you and you just like thrived at it, you just flourished at it. Maybe a project or something came along and it just scratched that itch that you just enjoyed. Hopefully you found a job at something like that. But you were made for something. You're not just made to pay bills. You're not just made to pay those new taxes they just sent all of us. Right? You're made for a purpose. You're made with a sweet spot. You're made with something that has value. You're made with something to accomplish, something to flourish and thrive in that fulfills you like the person next to you. It might not fulfill them the same way. And God has designed you for that. God has built you that way. He knows who you are. He knows where you come from. He knows what you've gone through. And he knows where he wants to send you. Yeah. And he's working on both sides of the table here, not just for your sake, but for the sake of others as well. And I challenge you as a pastor to find that, whatever it is that God has put inside you, that passion, that joy, that fulfillment, and lean into that for the kingdom of God. Lean into that because that's where you're going to find fulfillment, and that's where God's going to leverage how he's created you to see others find him. Use your gifts, your talents for his glory. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus in this story, had a penchant for understanding and detail and learning. He got this deeply as a Pharisee. And God took that, and that's what he was designed for. He thought it was to enforce the law, and it actually became to preach how Jesus fulfilled the law. And he unleashed him into that kingdom for the kingdom, and he became an unstoppable force because he found what that was. You and I need to find what that is and go with joy. That's why Paul says he went with the. That's why he did things with joy even when he was in prison. This Wednesday night we're in Philippians. You're going to hear that he's talking about joy the whole time he's in jail. Why? Because he was fulfilling what God made him to be. Investing that in him. I want us to recognize that God has made us not just to be guilt-riddled or obligated to accomplish this, but I believe God wants to see this vision and this mission very differently. That's one of three reasons that we made these fun glasses. I call them fun glasses, not sunglasses, because they're fun glasses. That's why they say, let's go on the side. There's a little bit of imagery with this, and so let me share that with you real quick, and then we'll get into the rest of things going on. First of all, let's go is about excitement and possibilities. Excitement and possibilities. Not, oh gosh, I got to stand up and leave the church and I got to go find somebody to witness to or God's not going to let me into heaven. No, that's not it at all. You've got it all wrong. He wants you to lean into the joy that is set before you to be what God's created you to be. To step into that, to move forward in that so that people can see who he is and what he thinks about them. And so it's excitement, it's possibilities, man. It's joy. It's like a summer road trip or a journey. It's not something we dread or do by force. It's something we enjoy, something that energizes us. It's not a guilt trip. It's what we were made for, church. Ananias had a chance to reach the guy that would reach the known world for Jesus. God positioned him, he timed him, he placed him, and he sent him. That's what he wants to do with us. Let's go is about seeing things the way God does. That's why they're glasses. So that you can, I got to get this plastic over here. So you can look through them and see things the way he does. Not that he's cool and he sees things darker. Okay, that's not the point. It's a metaphor. Work with it, okay? It's about getting his perspective. Ananias saw a dead end, but God was bringing life. Ananias heard God say, go talk to the guy who's going to throw you in jail. That's what he heard. And God was saying, go witness to the guy who's going to save half the world. Right? So God's bringing life. Sometimes we don't see it that way. We need to see it the way God is seeing it. You need to see your work and your job the way God sees it. You need to see your family the way God sees it, not just the way you feel and perceive it on your own. Because our perception's limited, isn't it? I can only see this way. But God sees the whole situation, right? God understands. We need to see it the way he sees it. You may see problems. You may see scary people or obstacles or barriers or differences. God wants you to see that he made you for this, for such a time as this. And finally, let's go about action. When I was a kid, I always had sunglasses on. Anybody else like that? Sunglasses, just like, woohoo, sunglasses. I had pairs of them everywhere. We'd pick them because they're cheap and whatever. And sunglasses meant we were doing something. Like, get your shades, let's go. We couldn't get in the car until you had your sunglasses. Chad's with me, right? Chad, let's just talk, okay? Now, but sunglasses, like you're getting on a trip, you got to have your sunglasses. I mean, she's got them on her head right now. Right? So they were just about action. They were about doing something. You didn't get your sunglasses on to not do something, right? And so maybe this is just for me, and that's fine. I'll just share it with you. It's my testimony, and you can enjoy it, okay? But in Acts 9, God called Ananias to action, to an appointed moment of response, to go. I believe he's speaking to this church in this moment. I believe it. We don't have to do this to earn our stripes or something. That's not how this works. We get to do this because it's what we're made for. Nearly 5 years ago, God brought us to Independence. Can you believe that? It's almost been 5 years. He brought us to this church to help lead this church in a new direction, to revitalize the situation, and to get us focused again on the Great Commission of what God wants to do through Central Assembly for Independence and the county and the state and the nation, and the world. Yes, we're affecting global change here through your missions giving. There's a missionary here, stood right here Wednesday night from the Philippines, who is helping kids find Jesus in the Philippines. because you and I are partnering together in sponsoring that missionary. We're doing global things right here at Central, and God has called us to do that back to our purpose, to be what He designed and positioned us to be. So I say, let's go. We have neighbors and people in our city waiting for us to go to them and share Christ. We have an opportunity to do global missions through faith, promise, giving, and missions efforts. And we literally have a team that is answering the call and going to Alaska this summer. And you can join the effort. God has connected us with a need and an opportunity in Anchorage, Alaska. And guess what? Guess what He said to us? Let's go. Let's go. Check out this video giving you a little idea of what we're going to be, or the church we're partnering with, and then I'll have the Alaska team join me when the video's up. If I could have the team that's going join us up here up front, we'll just stand around on both sides up here. So come on up. People tend to usually clump to one side or the other, so you can do that. We've got a great team here. We have 18 people on their way. A few of them, Pastor Jerry and Tracy, are downstairs. They didn't leave the kids, so praise God for that. You know, they lead down there. But we have 18 people on their way with a total budget of about $22,000 altogether. Airfare is a big part of that because the host church is blessing us in so many ways. They're hosting us in homes, taking care of us that way. They are our transportation and vans while we're there. They're giving us vehicles to use while we're there, which is a huge blessing. That kept our cost way down for vehicles and things like that. They're feeding us some meals. We're going to be using their facilities to cook some meals and save some money that way. That's how we're able to keep the cost down, but it still costs, right? Of that $22,000, we've brought in over half of that to this point, with about $9,000 to go in total. Much of that is being paid by the team today, right? You brought your other half of your money? Yeah. Okay, good. Whew, okay. Much of that's being paid by them today. And that's a testimony all on its own, in fact, because I don't think anybody here is just paying for themselves to go. I think people are helping us. I think that's coming out. And that's what's a picture that I wanted to make sure you grasped with us in the process. Maybe you're just hearing about this now, but many of us have found other avenues. Other people have resourced and blessed us in different ways. I would ask this, guys, who of the group here has written letters and got support from family or friends outside of Central? Outside of Central. Yeah, okay, cool. See that? So you got lots of people outside this church that are partnering with us. Again, Pastor Moran talked last week about the sower and the reaper coming together and celebrating together, right? There are people outside this church that are just sowing seed into this, and we get to celebrate together on what God does. What are some of the ways? We got a microphone, Pastor Chad? You got it? Cool. What are some of the ways that we see some people coming alongside of us in that way? Help us out. Molly? So God's lining up work. They came and approached us because they heard about doing a trip, and they were like, hey, does Molly want to mow your grass? We're like, yes, Molly does. She wants to mow your grass. That's right. So God's lining that up. Other ways, other avenues? Yeah, Miss Beverly. Yeah. And got blessed with fantastic weather, and the money came in, and it was awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise God. There's another way that I'll speak to, because I got involved in this as well. You mentioned the weather. God sent us some awesome weather this winter. Didn't He? Yeah. Piles of snow that people hate. They will pay you money to move it. How many of us shoveled snow this winter for Alaska, right? And our neighbors are like, yeah, please, go to Alaska. Here's some money, you know, just get the snow. So God bless, you're like, wow, snow, really, Pastor? Yes, really. God arranged that so that the people who don't have jobs, like Molly, jobless, unemployed, good for great things anyway. She's young. It's okay. She's young. It's okay. She doesn't have a job that can bring resources in, so God brought that situation to her. Praise the Lord for that. Some of us wrote family members, right? Yeah, so lots of those letters came in and checks are coming in, and praise God for that. So, Pastor Chad, we even tried to do some fundraising. We did a little bit. We did a little bit of fundraising, and what we bring in from fundraising. About $300 from fundraising. So praise God for that. That's a lot more than it's worth at times, by the way, just so you know why we don't do a lot of fundraisers. It's like, how can we get this and sell it to these people for more than it's worth? Right? And it's kind of how fundraising goes. So anyway, so we worked on that effort. We sort of tried to work with the Royals and do some concessions work, but they were really adamant that we had to hand people a lot of beer. And I was like, I don't know if we want to do that. So we kind of backed out of that situation. So anyway, so we worked on some fundraising. But the picture I want you to see is that a lot of people outside this setting have gotten involved in this process. And God is blessing and God is favoring it that way. Thousands have been given from outside this church to join the effort. And we praise God for that. Amen, team? Absolutely. But today we invite you to join the effort. Maybe you already have, and I understand that. I get that. I'm not asking you to double dip or triple dip. That's not what we're doing. But some of you in the body here have not been a part of this trip just yet. You haven't connected with somebody or sponsored somebody or supported them in some way. But as a church body, we can lean into a couple of projects a year. That's what we do. We do a spring project and a fall project. That's the only two times that I ask you as pastor to help us chip in on some other projects. This is not, we had an air conditioning unit go out right over here. I'm pointing, it's on the roof over here. But for this room right here, we had an air conditioner go out this week. I'm not asking you about that because we have the Lord's tithe and your offerings and we budget our finances and our leadership takes care of things. Right, we deal with those things. That's all right. I'm not saying, we're going to get hot if y'all don't give. You know, that's not what I'm doing, okay? You give and the Lord blesses and we work those things out. We have a reno project that's wrapping up in the fellowship hall. We haven't bled you and asked you for money on that, right? We just manage those funds. We're responsible with what God's blessed us with, and we're taking care of those details. But when it comes to missions, I believe there's a couple of chances a year that I can say, you know what, church, we got something we got to do. Let's come together. Let's see what God can do through us as a body. We do that through faith promise giving, but we also do that through just a couple of targeted projects a year, and this is one of them. We're going to Alaska. This special moment isn't about us or about our stuff. It's about them. I say them that way because Alaska's north, right? So it's that way, right? Yeah. That way. Yeah. Okay. That way. Okay. Anyway. It's about blessing and reaching others. And so we ask you to pray about this. Ask the Lord what part you can play in this trip. This team is heavily invested, personally invested, all of us. Are personally invested in the process with time and resource. Pastor Moran talked about the sower and the reaper rejoicing together. You can sow into this, and we will go and work the soil, and God will bring the harvest. Amen? The church in Anchorage will harvest souls, and we will rejoice together. So the idea is let's go. As you prepare to give, I want to give you a couple of instructions there on how you can do that. And if I can get to, let me ask you this real quick. A couple of you, I'd like to hear from a couple of you on what it is that you signed up for this trip. I know Harold already said he'd be glad to share that, but we'll do that in just a moment. But I want to get volunteers to do that. So a couple others, like why you're like, I wanted to go to Alaska. All right, Miss Beverly, anybody else? Don't make me missions trip this, y'all. I'll just call you out. All right, we'll take those two. The rest of you, if you'll help us with the offering, the buckets are right there. So see them. So we're going to receive the Lord's this offering for this trip. And here's the ways you can give. You can text your amount. Just text the word Alaska and a text after that. You can also go online and pay through the website portal and mark the Alaska Fund. You can write a check out, make that out to Central. Don't make it out to Alaska. We are not Alaska. Okay, make it out to Central. And the entirety of this offering will go to the Alaska trip. Okay, that's what's going on. So if you guys want to start the buckets on that side, and send them, yeah, you got it. You need to go back to the media booth to help me out that way. Thank you, sir. Mike, you going to help us out with the offering? We'll do that in just a second. First of all, can I get somebody, hold on, before you do, let me pray. Somebody want to pray for us? Missions trip, come on. Huh? I know you can pray. You're a pastor. Who'd like to pray for this offering? Awesome, Miss Beverly. Pray for us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. They can send, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, team, you can help us with the offering and be seated. I'll have these two stay with us up here real quick while the offering is going around. I wanted to hear from a couple people as to why you're doing this trip. So Harold, share with us a little bit about when we put this out in front of you, what was it that you felt like you needed to be a part of this trip?
When they mentioned Alaska, it brought back my first experience going on a missions trip. It's been 47 years since I've been.
Wow.
1972, and I kind of thought, Lord, I'm sorry.
Sure.
But I'm truly blessed. I'm so thankful for my family to give me this opportunity to go.
Praise the Lord.
But I've heard stories. Alaska is a beautiful place. But the most beautiful thing about going is seeing people saved and doing God's work.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Harold.
Well, I'm getting to the age. I'm not going to go there anymore.
Amen.
I really appreciate all the help from everybody that I'm able to do this, but I want to do it for God, because He's done so much for me that this is just a dab of what I can do for
Him.
So
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, we got our sunglasses on. We're going to Alaska, amen. Pastor Chad, before you have a seat, you can speak a little bit to some of the projects. Pastor Chad's been a connection that we had with the church that's up there. One of the staff members was somebody you met at Bible College. And so give us a quick take, a couple of items that we're going to be, that you're aware of, that we're going to be serving up there.
Yeah, so what we're going to be doing is they're trying to prepare their...
A great opportunity, Pastor Chad's background in football and long snapping. He's going to get to work with some students up there and leverage who he is and who God's created him to be in his story and his life, and leverage that into ministry while we're there. So it's going to be awesome. We're excited about that. We leave on July the 8th. The Sunday before that, the Sunday before that, we'll have the team up and we'll commission them and pray for them, lay hands on them, that God will bless our efforts as we're going. But we appreciate you partnering with us today and believing that the Lord wants to save some souls in Alaska.
Yeah.
Believing that God wants to mobilize the body of Christ here at Central to do something that isn't self-serving.
Yeah.
It's kingdom-serving. It's a beautiful thing, and so we're excited about partnering that way, and we're praying that God blesses it, and thank you for partnering with us in that way. As we dismiss this morning, let me just remind you that God has called us to go. Please let that be in your heart. Get that in your spirit, that wherever you go today or this week, whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever company of other people that you find yourself in, God is positioning and placing us there for reasons. And don't let those reasons walk by you. Don't miss out on those opportunities. And it's not because we have to do this, because God is literally partnering with us. Can you believe that? He's allowing us to be a part of what He is doing. And we give Him all the praise for it. Let's bow and we'll dismiss in prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for this body of Christ that is committed to your great commission. We are committed to what you want to accomplish on this earth. And God, I pray that you would bring us together as a body, and that you would also send us out. That we would walk in the steps that you would ordain for us, Lord. That we would be in a position so that the neighbors that we have here in Independence will have a next door witness of who Jesus is. They'll see the way we conduct ourselves, and they'll see the glory of God through that. They'll see the way that we do business, and they'll see your hand working through that. They'll get an idea of who you are because of how you work through us. Your kingdom come through us, Lord. Your will be done through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. Pray for the students going to camp. It's a big week. Grab some sunglasses on your way out because the sun is shining today. Get you some fun glasses.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.